two scripture verses today on this Pentecost Sunday. The first one is from the book of Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And stop here, but of course the story doesn't end there, but it ends this great sign of the reversing of the curse of Babel, as we heard, they spoke and people heard in many languages. Just as we hope with the scriptures today that they will be heard in many languages. And now we have Paul addressing the issue of the Spirit and the particular spiritual gifts there. Now about spiritual gifts, brother, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. Amen. Monty?
Monty? We were blessed this week. Some people asked me, and it was in their prayer cards, but my brother and his wife, they've been waiting for their latest child, and her name's Kaya. She was born on Monday night, and it was great fun. We've been waiting for her. They've been waiting. I guess I haven't really done that much, but I put Elodie to bed on Monday night and read and fell asleep in her bed, as I usually do after about two pages. Got woke up with my elbow, or her elbow. And then I decided, well, what the heck? And I got dressed again and drove over about 11 o'clock at night to Kaiser in San Francisco to meet this new little baby, because I realized, you know what? It's not every Monday night that you get to meet a new niece or nephew, right? It's easy for us to forget that. And so I had great fun. My parents were there. It was great. And we started telling stories. It's what we do, isn't it? When something big happens, we start telling stories. Oh, do you remember when this happened? Do you remember this? Oh, do you remember that time? We do it when we have birthdays. We remember the birthdays before. And so throughout this week, we've been talking about this new little baby, Kaya. And I was talking with Elodie, and we were talking about, wow, Kaya has a lot of hair. And then yesterday, we saw two babies, and we started talking about the hair again. And, oh, that baby's bald. Oh, your cousin didn't have any hair. And then Elodie, and this, she's at a soccer game. This is not why she's not here. She got mad at me because she said, well, what did my hair look like? And I said, I don't remember. It is interesting, isn't it? We have all those things, but it's just too much. You remember all this stuff, and a lot of times we have memories, but they're not always correct, right? You remember walking to school uphill both directions in the snow when you grew up in Northern California or things like that. But we tell those stories. We go back and we retell those stories to reclaim our past, to retell who we are, to remember who we are and what we're about. And Pentecost is when we retell our story. We hear the quicker, shortened version today in Acts that Bob read for us. You can reread the whole chapter if you want, chapter 2, as he was saying. But the birth story of the church is one that is crazy. We started off that way because I was overwhelmed with about seven things happening between 10:32 and 10:34 when I should have been into this space 5 minutes before. I'm overwhelmed by all that. I just caught my breath a few minutes ago. That's what happens, isn't it, on big days. All those memories come rushing back. And it just can be overwhelming. What do we do? Who are we? Why are we here? Oh, give me some more cake. I want another piece. We remembered as we were starting the service about the story of Pentecost. And it was crazy. The men and the women, they were gathered together. It might have been in that same upper room where Jesus celebrated the last meal he had with them. A place of sadness and frustration, confusion and consternation. And then those men and women, their lives were changed. Forever. They'd already been changed, but then they went crazy. They were overcome by the Spirit, and they started speaking different languages, talking about who God was and how they knew God and Jesus and how this living word had changed them and made them speak and pushed them to go outside. And the response was unanimous and glorious. These people are drunk. Peter got up and said, it's only 11 o'clock in the morning. How could we be drunk already? And then he proceeded to tell them what it was all about. And that is how the church started, in an explosion of excitement that had men and women, that was dynamic and alive, and that was misinterpreted and misunderstood by many. But then many did understand, and many responded. We tend to, I think, remember the church with rose-colored glasses. Oh, I remember in my day, it was great. I don't know how many times I've heard in my life as a pastor, you know, when back before you were the pastor, you know, a long time ago, we just opened the doors and everybody came in. We used to have like the whole neighborhood in our Sunday school. We didn't have to do anything. You're going to help us do that, right? Because you're young. That's why you hired me, isn't it? Ooh, that's an awkward silence. Oftentimes remember things differently. You know, Elodie was born and I didn't really care about her hair. I do remember that she wasn't yellow and had a cone head as our other child. I do remember that she came out in two pushes. Wow. I do remember the fear that I had as we drove down Ashby from 13, and I was convinced that I was going to be delivering her on the side of the road in front of the Claremont Hotel, even though we were, you know, only like 600 yards from the hospital. But I don't remember her hair. It's funny, huh? How our brains work. That's part of what remembering is about. And it's a big part of what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 12. We had an interesting conversation this morning at our Bible study where we're talking about the Presbyterian Church and the problems that we're facing and division and all of that stuff. And I started breathing heavily because I knew there was going to be conflict, but I want everything to be good and clear. And I tend to speak in hyperbole. And if you didn't know it, I speak really fast. And I actually am super opinionated. You might not know that. But I love you even if you're wrong. I mean, even if you have a different opinion than me. And Paul is writing to that sort of thing. It's so easy to hurt other people's feelings, isn't it? In church and out of church, maybe even more so in church, because we all are doing the right thing and we all love Jesus and we all just love each other, right? And you all think exactly what I do because I'm right. Paul's writing to a church that's having that sort of trouble. And he explained to them what's going on by talking about their body. Now, last night I was cooking my daughter, who does have hair. I know what it looks like today. I made her quesadillas. And as I was grating the cheese, I grated the skin off of my thumb. And in a split second, I thought, how am I going to get to the hospital? Elodie cannot drive that well. What am I going to do? And this morning, as I was trying to type up the last few little things for church and check the email one more time, I discovered how painful it is to type on a keyboard when you have no skin on your thumb. Have you ever had it? I don't encourage you to try the experience, but it's a reminder. Paul writes about the church, and he uses this image of the body, that the lesser parts are just as important as the more beautiful parts or more important parts. It's a good reminder this morning, remembering how important the skin is on my thumb. One, because it looks better, but two, because it's really hard to type. It is so easy when we are together to say things that hurt or to get hurt or to get misinterpreted or to rush ahead or just all of that stuff. It's so easy to lose track and to forget and to overlook. So easy. And it is really easy to feel hurt and frustrated by all of that. And yet we believe that, as Paul said, and as we hear in the story of Acts, that the church is us. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and there's two words in there. Ek means out of or going to somewhere special. Klesia is the Greek word kalio, which means to be called. And so the church are those people who are called by God and Jesus Christ to be something, to do something different. Called out of the world to a new way of being together. That's what church is. Our little tag here says, don't go to church, be the church. Because the church is something we are. You are. You, each and every one of us, are called, loved, chosen. Before you were aware of it, before you had hair or not, called to know God's love, to live God's love, to hear it in Jesus, and then to represent God's body in the world. It's all too easy to overlook our importance. We tend to focus on sin and that we do too much or we're too bad, but I actually think maybe the sin that a lot of us live with and struggle with is that we consider ourselves too unimportant. We consider ourselves as not vital. We consider ourselves as not needed. The church exploded at Pentecost, not because Jesus was in the streets, but because the people went outside into the streets and talked about him. Paul says not that Jesus' dead body resurrected is the body of the church, but that we are. You and I, with my thumb, with my confident opinions that are definitely right, and yours as well, that we are the body of Christ. I'm wearing this great apron that I just got from Beth. It has all this Parisian stuff on it. You can check it out later if you want. And it also has red, so I thought it worked out perfectly. Because the church is messy. Life is messy, isn't it? I don't know how many times I get to work and I realize that I have an oil stain or something down the front of my shirt. I did a funeral once where in the middle of the funeral, I realized that the lapel on my jacket had been chewed off by my dog when I had left it in the car. It's a good thing I'm cute and always right. Life is messy, isn't it? And the church is not anything different than life, but oftentimes we think church is going to be more tidy. It's going to be more kind. but it's just as messy because we're humans. I don't think the mess is bad, but it's there. Maybe we should all wear aprons to come to church. I probably should wear an apron in life. Church can get messy. Did you know that one of the first big fights in the church was over the Holy Spirit? Huge! In fact, the Orthodox Church and the Protestant and Catholic churches exist because of this fight. You think about this every day, don't you? Let's see if you have the right answer. Does the Holy Spirit come from God the Father, or does it come from God the Father and Jesus? I'm disappointed that you don't know the right answer. It's a complicated question. It is what the church, the first division in the church, that was the main thing, was over. How do we understand that? Now, maybe it's important, maybe it's not, but that question of the filioque is what we call it. It's huge. Our challenge to be the church today is to keep our eye on the prize, I think, to go outside. We need to take care of each other. Oftentimes, we don't do a good job at that. But we also need to go out into the streets. They go together. My daughter, I hope she grows up to be a competent woman, despite me. But that involves me taking care of her with Christy, but it also involves her going out into the world when growing up. Both are needed. Just like for us to be followers of Jesus, both are needed. We need to care for each other, but we also need to go outside. We need to step up. Today, the church, we struggle as the church to be that ecclesia, people that are called out of the world or to a different way of being, called and loved, each one of us. How do we understand that? If I told you that I put up a sign on the bathroom downstairs saying that we no longer had gender separation for the bathrooms, how many of you would quit the church? How many of you would give me $1 million? We get divided so quickly, don't we? We live in a time in which division is all around us. It always is. But nowadays, things are so in our face about transgender bathrooms, who can go where, who can do what, about technology. What do we do with it? Who should have it? About our racial identity. Some people are unequal. Everybody has the same option. We are faced with struggles. In our own city, you look at our education system and our public schools. Can everybody really just pull themselves up by the bootstraps? Can everybody have and make the same equal choice? We have different opinions. What about sexuality? What about marriage? What about owning property? What about obeying our government? And most important, what about your political party? Because that really reflects if you're Christian or not, right? And how do you approach the Bible? How do you approach other people? Should you be flexible if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are called out? Should you change your mind? How do we interact with other religions? How do we interact with our neighbors? There's a lot of challenges out there. And how do we do that as the church? How do we do that together? As Presbyterians, we believe that we don't go to church, that we are the church, and that we are the church best by being together. Our Presbyterian church is dividing over many different issues, over property, over sexuality, over who you have sex with, or if you have sex, over who you marry or don't marry, over how you read the Bible, over how you interact with technology, over how you interact with people of other religions, over all the things that I've already listed. What's really tragic is that some people, as they leave, slam the door and say horrible things. I've been told that I'm going to burn in hell for what I believe. And I must admit that I probably thought the same thing about that person leaving after they said that to me. I actually probably thought it was, I wished it probably. It's so easy to get lost. So easy to get divided. Yet the story of the church is not one where everybody's happy-go-lucky, because if you read Acts, you'll know that the people who were there and Peter who stood up to preach, just a few chapters later is being told by Paul that he's wrong, that he's got it all backwards. And then he has a second conversion experience where he begins to understand that God is not just for the Jews, but for all peoples. We believe that God is still speaking to us today. We believe that we are at church, but that church is not something we go to as much as something that we are together. So on this Pentecost birthday of the church, I want to remind you, don't go to church. Be the church. Increasingly, nobody wants to come to church. Did you know that? Most people won't go to church. We have a good friend who just moved back from Europe where she's been a pastor, and she said she will never be a pastor ever again. And she's not sure she'll ever go to church again. This is a very Bible-believing woman because of all the pain. And because she says the church is so focused just on doing the same old thing, taking care of itself, that it doesn't pay attention to the world. It gets focused on going to church instead of being a church. Look around in the pews. I'm just about done. Sorry, I'm preaching like three sermons here today. It's Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. I'm out of control. Look around at the people around you. You are the church. You are the church. Did you know that Cecilia Jackson makes some of the best fried chicken I've ever had in my life? That's the church. Did you know that Sharon Nelson is probably the most vibrant and gregarious singer in a choir that I have ever met? That is the church. Albert has the most eclectic tie collection. An eclectic with Jesus ties. And the ways in which he is attentive to the people he works with. If you pay attention to the prayer requests that he shares, that's the church. Lori and Mike do remarkable things to those who see differently than I do, encouraging them in faith and in life and in their rights as human beings. That's the church. Chuck is an amazing photographer. You probably didn't know that. Lisa, who's here with us today, is wicked good on the piano. Did you know that? Have you ever heard her sing? That is the church. You are the church. We are the church. I realize that most of my life I try to do things a little crazy, and so I actually, when someone calls me a heretic, I actually find it encouraging. Where someone says, you're causing trouble, I find that encouraging. Not because I'm making trouble, but because I think, oh, I'm being a little different. That's okay. That's good. Two things happened this week that really struck me. One was that at a meeting, I spoke up about something. And I didn't want to do it, but I thought, you know, I should do it. And then seven other people said, you know, I thought the same thing. I'm glad you said that, because otherwise I never would have said it. The second thing was that I was called by, I got an email this week in which I was tagged. It was an email sent to about 40 people that live in Rockridge, and it was written by a concerned neighbor to the two young men, or I shouldn't say young, I sound like an old fart, they're my age, so young men, hot young men, that have bought Barclays across the street and are going to open it up at the end of August. And this person, who I think is probably well-intentioned, said, do you know that you are operating a bar across the street from a church? Have you asked their permission? You should contact their pastor, Monty McLean. Here's his email address. So this is a person I've never, ever met, never seen them in our church, but they're speaking for us. Now, I know that's not the church. So unfortunately, I didn't read that email for 3 days. So by the time I read it, I'd gotten private emails from the two owners who were very concerned that the church was going to take them out. And my response to him was, well, it seems to me like if you go down the block, there's two other bars within 40 feet of your establishment. And that pub has been there for at least 25 years, so I don't know why we would have trouble with it. They were overwhelmed. Overwhelmed that I would respond that way. Seems kind of crazy. The world actually doesn't know what the church is, because today I think the world sees the church as one thing. That's why I always tell those stories about how everybody I ever meet around here thinks I'm the custodian. Or the dog trainer.
Or the gardener.
Or the cook. Yeah, hardly few people say, hey, you're the pastor, right? Because people just don't know. Because they are looking for a church that is an institution and a building and a former way of doing things. And my friends, we are the church, not the past. We are the church. Look around at the people. We, with the other followers of Jesus around the world, we are the church.
Amen.
So have courage. Hold on to what is good. Don't return evil for evil. Love everyone you meet, because you are the church.